If you want to approach your birth feeling cool, calm and confident, then you are in the right place. Welcome to HypnoWhat. I'm your host Claire, a doula and hypnobirthing teacher from Edinburgh, and I'm here to help you look forward to birth. So let's get going. Hello again, it's Claire here. And it has been a long time since I have recorded a podcast. I know a couple of months ago I did a bit of a thought download podcast episode on the amazing birth that I attended as a doula in autumn last year. But as I said at the start of that episode, I just cannot believe how quickly time has flown. It has been a pretty mega 2 years for my family. And unfortunately, the podcast was the ball that I had to drop, which is a real shame because it's something I really, really enjoy doing. I get so much out of it. And judging from the, you know, I always get lovely feedback from everyone that listens. So I'm guessing it's something that you get a lot of joy out of as well. So it was at the end of September 2023 that I recorded and posted how to have a hypnobirth. Spoiler, there's no such thing as a hypnobirth. But yeah, it was 2 weeks after that I found out I was pregnant, and another 2 weeks later that I was very much in the grips of another hyperemesis pregnancy, so severe pregnancy sickness. Is pretty grim. Pretty grim is like understatement of the century. It was utterly awful. But that really put the podcast onto the back burner, and I just never really picked it back up again. And in case you haven't had an eye on my social media, let me tell you that pregnancy turned out to be a double whammy. It was my wee twins, my little bunnies, and they are now 19 months old and not really little anymore, but I've been feeling a lot of feels about it. My tiny babies turning into chubby toddlers, babbling away, chucking pasta around, climbing on the dining room table. That dining room table is now in our garage because I couldn't handle the babies climbing onto it and running up and down it. It was very stressful. It's absolute chaos in our house at the moment. Has me tearing my hair out and weeping with joy at the same time. So if you are currently finding yourself internally or externally, we don't judge here. If you're shouting fuck a lot, crying into the leftover toast that you're eating for lunch, while simultaneously weeping with joy at the loveliness of your little people, we are very much in the same club. Life is hard work at the moment. I feel like I am constantly on the go, catering to the needs of everybody else. But it's my mad motherhood era, and I'm trying to lean into it, because while I would very much like to have a little more time without little people hanging off my body, I also really want nothing more than little people hanging off my body. It's a bittersweet catch-22 situation that I'm sure many of us find ourselves in. You know, we want to be the person doing it all, but doing it all is really doing it all, and it's quite a lot of doing. And we don't really get to relax into the being of like being in your family. That's kind of something that I've been thinking a lot about, that I'm doing all the time instead of being in the family, in our house, I don't know, running about, doing washing and whatever else, instead of just like doing the fun bits and getting to really enjoy them, because I'm trying to do 100 things at once. I guess this is a bit of a ramble, this episode. I have got some notes that I've kind of semi-scripted, but that ramble is a pretty good introduction into what I wanted this episode to be about, which is kind of discussing this stage of life. I've said a mini episode, but I will probably go on and on and on. A mini episode about my motherhood experience this time around, with a bit of comparison to last time. So the first year of having a baby, or in our case babies, it's just always a bit of a roller coaster, isn't it? It's a roller coaster of milestones and sleep deprivation. you're recovering from pregnancy and birth, maybe you're dealing with breastfeeding as well, or grieving a feeding journey or a birth that didn't quite go to plan, then there's your hormones diving around all over the place, and you're thinking about who still needs to come and meet the baby and the dishes that need done and what's for dinner, and the big kid needs a new school bag, and at the same time you're desperately trying to take it slow and soak it in and enjoy every moment, like every pain in the arse visitor keeps telling you about. But you're so busy and it's hard, and you know you're getting to know a whole new person that you made while also getting reacquainted with yourself, and probably trying and failing to keep up with friends. Plus there's this new evolution to the family dynamic that you're trying to figure out, and you don't want the big kids to feel left out, and fuck, Auntie Sarah is coming round and we haven't hoovered in 2 weeks. You know, it's a bit mental, isn't it? It's a really wild ride, and I could have kept adding and adding and adding to that list, that mental list that goes round and round in your head, and it truly is impossible to comprehend until you've been through it yourself, because no matter how slow and easy you say you're going to take it, time moves along at the same pace, and you still find yourself looking back and thinking, how are they 2 weeks old? Or how has it been a year? How can my tiny newborn babies possibly be these chubby toddlers scaling the dining room table? That's where I'm at just now. This past year and a half with our babies has been incredible. Unbelievable joy, with pockets of truly, utterly awful days. Challenging beyond comprehension, but enormously rewarding at the same time. It is far and away the hardest thing I have ever done, but in some ways it's also been beautifully easy. It's really impossible to describe. And that's partly what has fueled my desire to get the podcast back up and running, because it's like a nice creative thing that I do, but I find this like, it's cathartic to share this and to, I guess it's a bit of word vomit, but to get it out. There have been moments where I've just been completely certain that my body and mind are on the verge of breaking. And this is it. I've thought, you know, this is it. This is the most I can take. I just cannot do it anymore. And then somehow you do. Somehow I am still here, still doing the thing. You know, parenthood really does take you to your limits. Motherhood really does take you to your limits. You know, there's so much that as women, as mothers, there's just this expectation that we will take on, and I'm really trying to challenge that. And you know, I have a really great and supportive husband, but it's very difficult to unpick, and you know, there's so much nuance, and sometimes it's just fucking easier to do things yourself, isn't it? But I'm trying to challenge that, trying to change that. But yeah, the what I think I've found really difficult this time around having the babies, not just that there's two of them, but it's the changing family dynamic thing for me that is the real head fuck. Because whether you're having your first baby or your fifth, all of a sudden everyone's place in the family has shifted slightly. You know, when you have your first baby, you become a parent, you become mum or dad, the baby is born, but you are also, this is a bit cliche, cringy, but you are reborn when you have a baby, because you have a new identity all of a sudden. You have new priorities and responsibilities, and subsequent babies not only make you parents to multiple kids, but they give your bigger babies new roles as well. They become big sisters or big brothers, and little kids really cannot understand the magnitude of that, and they really can't grasp what it means to share their parents until they're suddenly forced to do so. And of all the challenges that I face with the twinos, it's really been hardest to not be able to be the mum to Clemmie that I was before they were born, or before I was pregnant with them. You know, she had 5 and a bit years of me all to herself. She didn't just have me physically, emotionally, she had all of me. All of my energy was poured into her, and it's been hard not to be able to give that to her anymore. And also to not be able to give that parenting experience, to not be able to give that mother to the twins, because, you know, I've got Clemmy and also there's two of them. And they're feral anyway. They're so feral. But that's not failing on my part. And, you know, if that not being able to give yourself in the way you, not being able to give all of yourself to your first kid anymore, you know, if that resonates with you, it's not a failing on your part either. It is literally impossible. We cannot give them what they had before. That version of life doesn't exist anymore. It's very bittersweet. Our families have grown, they have changed, and with that change comes a natural shift in what we can give, how we can divide our time, how our energy moves, where our attention goes. And the mum guilt has done some serious toing and froing about this, let me tell you. Watching my big girl navigate her world now that it contains her baby brother and sister, I cannot give her the same undivided attention that I once did. And that's a very nasty pill to swallow at times. You know, we decided to have these babies, and ultimately that choice resulted in this change in attention for Clemmy. It resulted in this enormous change in her life. And I've definitely had to grieve the loss of that that version of our relationship, you know, the closeness and the simplicity of it. She was a toddler through lockdown, and it was just me and her most of the time, and the bloody dog, of course, but the less said about that poor guy, the better. But here's what I've come to realise, or rather, here's how I coach myself when it's feeling tough. While I can't give her what she had before, I have given her something else, something equally meaningful, a life enriched with her siblings, you know, a house full of noise. We have a ton of chaos, but there's also connection and laughter and love. And I hope that as she grows, she'll feel a real sense of belonging from being part of our team. And one of these lives isn't better or worse. They're just different. You know, the love in our house hasn't lessened, it's multiplied. We have this book, which is so nice, I highly recommend it. It's called The Littlest Yak, and it's about Gertie, this little girl yak, becoming a big sister. And there's this line in it that goes, oh, it actually gets me, I feel a bit lumpy in my throat saying it, but the line goes, the thing about hearts you see is they grow. God, I'm actually getting wet eyes. So if you are pregnant now with a babe who, or if you're pregnant now and you have a babe who is about to become a sibling, that's exactly how you're going to manage to love someone else as much as you love your first, because it definitely seems impossible to comprehend how that happens, but it just does. And this is definitely a controversial thing to say, but you will have favourites. Not like overall in your life, but like day to day. One of them will invariably annoy you more than the others, and it varies day to day, and it doesn't say anything about how much you love them all overall. It just says what's happening in your house that day. And at the moment, you know, I'm very much leaning towards the girl baby being my favourite. She sleeps in 13-hour stretches, which puts her way above baby boy. And she can't talk yet, so she doesn't give me anywhere near as back chat as much as her big sister does, whose current favourite phrase is, "You're not the boss of my body." Which tells me, you know, I've maybe gone a bit too far in teaching her about bodily autonomy. But yeah, your parental attention, it doesn't vanish. It's just reshaped. And your big kids, they don't lose you. They just get a new kind of you, one that's stretched and grown and become, you know, you become more whole with each challenge that you face together. It might not feel like it, but this new version of you is parent 2.0. You've done it before. You have tips and tricks for the challenges that are coming, and you have a whole lifetime's experience to help you navigate this new life with a new tiny baby sibling. So if you're feeling guilt or an ache for the way things used to be, I see you. I feel that too. It's really hard. But let's also hold space for the beauty of what is now. The chaos, everything. Let's just, that is really special. And let's not just focus on what it used to be. Because both of these versions are real and both matter. Both are part of the story of your family. It's just that our brains quite often focus on the negative, and we can quite often give ourselves a hard time for not being able to do something that is impossible. Like if you, like me, get stressed out and upset about finding it difficult with multiple kids and not being able to split yourself, not being able to give them all of you. We can't do that. It's physically impossible. It's physically impossible. It's not failing on our part. It's literally not something that anyone in the world can do. So we need to stop beating ourselves for that. I guess that's just my little ramble for today. I just thought I'd share a bit of what I'm feeling just now in the grips of this life. Life with three. And also when I was at it's just so easy to think that other people have it together, don't they? And nobody really has it together. Like, what does that even mean, having it together? But I was letting loose, shall we say, at my best friend the other day. I was saying, Jen, it's just so hard. Is basically how the conversation went, me weeping about how hard everything was. And she just said to me, babe, you're finding it hard because it is hard. It's really hard. You can just do your best. You're upset because you're a great mum and you want to be doing a good job, and that shows that you're doing a good job. So if you are feeling stressed out and upset and worried about doing a good job, you're doing a good job. It is hard because it is hard. You're finding it hard because it is hard, not because you're not good at it. It is just a really, really, really hard job to do. And here's something that I come back to as well. See the people that aren't doing a good job. See the people that are doing a shit job. Do you know what? They don't care. They don't care. They don't beat themselves up for doing a shit job because they're doing a shit job. Part of the reason that they're, you know, one of the things that means that you're doing a good job is that you care. You know, when you care about doing something well, you care about your family, you care about wanting to be a good parent, that shows that you're doing a good job and that you're trying your best. Yeah, the people that are doing a shit job, they don't care. Part of me does long for that ignorance, but there we go. Okay, I'm going to try and record another podcast in the near future. I'm not going to promise a date, but yeah, I will hopefully not be too far from your ear holes. Have a lovely day. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Hypno What podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. And you can find out more about what I'm up to by heading to birthingparentsclub.com. See you next time. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the HypnoWhat podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. And you can find out more about what I'm up to by heading to birthingparentsclub.com. See you next time.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free home delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.